Okay, the Library Advisory Commission meeting is called to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Sean Campbell.
Here.
Vice Chair Deb Tracy Prout.
Hi, here.
Commissioner Martha Dexter.
Here.
Commissioner Barbara Gorson.
Here.
Commissioner Ellen Campos.
Here.
Commissioner Cindy Jackson.
Here.
Commissioner Nancy Girt.
Here.
Okay, next item on the agenda is approving the agenda of May 23rd today. I have a motion, please.
I move that we approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Item number three, oral communications. Is there any member of the public who would like to address this board about an item not on today's agenda? Okay. Seeing none, move out to the consent agenda. Item one, item A is to approve the minutes of April 19th, 2016. This is just like a motion.
Yeah, for both items.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any member that would like to pull an item from the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye, but I will abstain from the minutes because I was not here.
Okay.
Next item is member reports. Is there any member of the commission that would like to give a report?
I would, because I was not here at the last meeting, and everyone said such wonderful things about why they were happy to be on this commission, and so I just want to second all of that. I read in the minutes all of the things that everyone else said. I agree with all of them. I think this is a really wonderful opportunity for the community to work in partnership with the library and with the board, and we have a lot of things on our plate in the coming years, and when we pass Measure S, I think we as a commission will be helpful to the library and working with them to plan the new facilities. I'm excited about that. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to work together. So I'm looking forward to it.
Any other member reports?
I'll give a quick update on the Capitola Friends group, since we're so new. We have a small but mighty group. We've been really focused on Measure S, doing our phone banking, precinct walking. We have covered Capitola, SoCal, and Live Oak with some assistance from some Live Oak members, Karen Delaney in particular, because she let us use the volunteer center to gather, and she was there at least a few times. She may have been there more than that. So that was good, and we're now into second rounds of phone banking. We had our second ever Friends meeting, Capitola Friends meeting, last weekend, and had a consistent turnout, almost to a person. The same people from the first meeting did show up at the second, which was good. We didn't drive them away with whatever we did that first time. And we had our community development director come and walk through sort of a top-level construction timeline, assuming, of course, that Measure S passes. And that was great because it helps us take a look at where we're going to fit into that timeline to assist in advocating and fundraising, et cetera. We elected our officers. I'm the president. Gail Ortiz is the vice president. Karen Scott is the treasurer. And Tony Campbell and Stephanie Harlan are members of the steering committee. I'm happy, really happy to say that Gail Ortiz has stepped up to head our fundraising efforts.
Great.
So that's a load off my mind for sure.
Yeah.
So that was great. So we're having another meeting, not next month, because there's not really anything for us to do at this point, but in the following month, and then we can hopefully cheer on Measure S for having passed and make some more specific plans.
Cool.
Great.
I guess I could do a campaign report.
Yes, please.
So Felton Library Friends, there's a whole sort of network of people that I've been trying to coerce into calling because people, at some point, people just don't like to call. Some people will just say straight up, I don't call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say probably 60% of people don't call. Mm-hmm. Marketing people call, mm-hmm. but there aren't that many of them. So anyway, we got our second set. We're working through it. We're calling Aptos and Scotts Valley. Although this time we got Santa Cruz and the Valley. So, and Scotts Valley. But I don't think we'll get through them all. I think that it's waning. The sort of power, man-woman power is waning. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Tomorrow at the Board of Supervisors meeting, I'm going to be presenting along with Nicole Coburn and Till Messer, kind of the Felton Library concept, mm-hmm. the plan for it. And we'll be presenting the building, the riparian corridor restoration area, and the Children's Nature Explorer area, all three together. So that's exciting, trying to do a little plug, mm-hmm. you know, to bring people's awareness up. And also we've been tabling out in front of New Leaf in Felton and getting a lot of really good response from people. If you have, I know Capitola has a rendering of the building. It's really helpful to do some public, mm-hmm. just standing out in front of store type thing or mm-hmm. wherever people go. So we're doing. Almost done. 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Okay. Moving on to the item 6, the interim library director report.
Okay. What I thought I would do, as you think about the ways you want to interact with the Joint Powers Authority, is I would start giving you some information and catch you up on what the library has been up to in the last few months and what we have to look forward to. We prepared a packet of things, and they're extra right there. If anyone wants to, in the public, would also like to look at them. What we've tried to do is give you an idea of the variety of things that are going on in the library right now, that we're offering services and programs for people of all ages, children, school age students, teenagers, adults, seniors, and then some specialized group. And what you have here, we have a marketing team that's very strong in the library, and they work on press releases, they work on the design on our website, on Instagram and Facebook, and they produce these rat cards that you would find in all branches, and we found this very useful. So people who are interested in a specific kind of service or program can pick up the things that they would need. And so you see a wide variety of things, all the way from things for toddlers and preschoolers to business people, adults. We have one of our own very own databases that we created, Soundswell. This is a database of local musicians, the music that they produce. You can download and stream it from our website. We pay the artists. That's in our budget, and we have paid them from the beginning and continue to pay, so we're not asking them to do this for free. We are trying to give value for their work, and they sign a 2-year contract, and then they can renew, and when they renew, they can give us the latest music that they're producing. And so we're actually just going through a round of renewed contracts right now. So you see that. You have a book bag. Use it well. The summer reading program is going to start June 1st, and it's going to be a reading program for all ages as well, so all of you can also participate in the summer reading program, and so that's coming. The program team has worked very hard to put a wonderful summer together, and the summer is actually going to extend into the first 2 weeks in August, so people who go on vacation will have more chance to log their reading and to earn book bucks. The Festival of the Book will still be the last Sunday in July, so 31st. I can't remember what the last anything is anymore. It will be July 31st at Harvey West Park, that festival that you have come to know and love. It will be there, but people can still keep reading and collect book bucks right into the second week of August, so you have a book buck there. Now I have some other exciting things to show you. In about 3 weeks, our new bookmobile is going to arrive. And we talked to a lot of people who had bookmobiles, and they were saying, oh, don't do this, and don't do that. Don't make it too cute, because people think it's only for kids. Don't put people on them, because the people might not be there. They might move away, or don't do that. But the people who were happiest were people who had their bookmobile give a sense of place. And we thought, well, hey, we live in Santa Cruz County. So Sebastian Kennebec, who's a local nature photographer, award-winning photographer, has licensed 3 of his images to us. So this image on the driver's side of the bookmobile was taken on Russian Hill looking toward the ocean. It is the Santa Cruz Mountains right there. On the passenger side, some people call this the shark tooth, some people call it the shark fin, but it's out in Davenport. We do go out to Davenport, and so that's that image. And then in the back is an image from a trail in the valley, in the redwoods or the water, and we thought people are stuck in traffic. They can sit there and calm down and get a moment behind the bookmobile. Inside the bookmobile is just as lovely. I don't have a picture to give you the right finishing up, and actually the bookmobile right now is being painted. First they're going to paint it this color, and then these images are going to be a wrap. So right now it's being painted. So we couldn't get a picture of that. It's being built in Colorado. And the last week in May, our bookmobile person is going to go out to Colorado with 14 pages worth of specs, and we're going to go through. He's going to go through all 14 pages, take out panels, look at them, make sure the whole thing is put together right, and see. Hopefully, we'll have a small punch list, not a big one, and then the factory will drive it from Colorado to Santa Cruz. We think. It's very possible that it will come like the first or second week of June. It is wired to be its own hotspot. It has solar panels on the roof to run the generator. It has sun tubes in the roof to provide light. It's a biodiesel engine. It's about as energy efficient as you can have and still be a very heavy vehicle, because a bookmobile is a very heavy vehicle. It is the same length, believe it or not, as the current one that we have. So it will be a little bit more maneuverable, and it will be very much easier for mechanics to work on. So we think that's a good thing too. And that, so pretty soon, I cannot wait. I dream about standing there in front of headquarters and watching it come around the first time. It'll be fun. Now, there are some places where the bookmobile can't go. So we have Kermit, and Kermit is our bikemobile. You can probably figure out why we call it Kermit. And it will, you'll be able to carry books here. There's also storage and ability to carry down here. The top curved roof is metal. So you can take magnets and put flyers for whatever program you might be doing on it when you set up. And there are stands so that you can make it very level and very stable. The sides fold out. You probably can't tell, but there's a tiny little shelf here for display shelving. And you will be able, using a... we will have an iPad on it. You'll be able to apply for a library card, get a library card, you'll be able to return books, check out books, request books. Mm-hmm. So the idea is there's a lot of places that the bookmobile can't get to. One of them in Santa Cruz would be the tannery. We can't. There's no place for us to park the bookmobile in the mm-hmm. tannery complex, but we could ride Kermit over. We can ride Kermit on open streets up on West Cliff. Kermit is light enough so that we can put it in one of our vans and take it to any place in our service area and provide service that way at various events and things like that. So we think for the biking community as well as beach goers and tourists and everything that this will be popular. We were able to pay for this through a grant from the Peninsula Library Partnership. So that's how we were able to have Kermit. And we're looking forward. Kermit is being road tested now. Kermit's not on the road yet because we have to figure out how much you have to have in it to get someplace. We have to train people to ride and pull it. The bike, we got a deal from Spokesman. They sold us the bicycle. It has 21 gears, but you still have to figure out what you're doing and how you're doing it. So we're in all of that shakedown place with Kermit, but we should see it when summer reading starts. The other thing in your packet, just to give you an idea, is the popularity of our website. You've probably heard me say several times that the library service is about one-third of the service the library offers is virtual, and this will give you an idea of what kind of hits we get on the website and the kind of statistics that we can collect. We're also have signed up for a service called Analytics on Demand, which is going to be something very important to us in terms of developing the collection and working out new programs that will be able to give us reports on demographics in the county and in our service area to get a better, clearer idea of what kinds of services and what kinds of programs are the people in our service area need. So this is kind of a placeholder. You'll be hearing more about Analytics on Demand as we go, but I just wanted to let you know that that's something fairly new, but I think is going to be very, very useful for us. And then you have the library bingo for adults. I think they were just trying to encourage you all to sign up by giving you the bingo card, but that is the adult summer reading, and then this is the booklet for the younger people. And you will see on the back, I'll call your attention to that. These are the businesses that are supporting us this summer. One of the things we're doing is putting a sign in each one of those businesses saying that they support the library and support the summer reading program so people know what an important part they're playing in the community. I can take questions on any of those things and let me know if there are other things about what we're currently doing in libraries that you would like to hear more about, or if you have any particular questions about what we offer. What I've been doing, I did want to tell you, and I will talk about our new director here in a minute, but what I've been doing with the Joint Powers Authority is having a presentation at every meeting talking about all the different departments and services that are offered at the library. And if that is something that would be interesting to you, we could arrange to have such presentations here whenever you meet. So we would be happy to do that. We have lots to say about our new jail service. We have lots to say about how collections are built and how we make those decisions. And we would be very happy to make those presentations. So just let me know, and Susan and I will talk about that. I am meeting on the phone weekly, sometimes bi-weekly, with our new director, Susan Nimitz. We've gone over the budget and all its forms, and we're going to be going over another one soon. And we're going over various services, as you can imagine, with Measure S, and if it passes, there are certain kinds of legal things that we will need to do, so we're going over all that so she can be prepared for that. She's really easy to work with. I really like her a lot. She asks wonderful questions. You are going to love her. She will be here on the job June 20th. She's never lived anywhere else but Minnesota. She and her dog are going to drive down the first part of June. They've got a long-term temporary place to live in Aptos for the moment, so she can kind of look around and figure out what she wants to do and where she is. Then she has obligations back in Minnesota. She will fly back for those, fly back to Santa Cruz on the 19th and be at work on the 20th when we go to the County Board of Supervisors for the budget hearing. So we're going to get going right away. So that's one of the reasons that she and I are talking. So I've probably told you more than you want to know, but there you are.
All interesting.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Okay. Moving on to item 7, general business. A is the revised bylaws for the Library Advisory Commission.
Yeah. What we did was there were some questions about in the section of the bylaws where this would never happen, but let's say something happened and a member needed to be removed. What the decision was is that the person who appoints the commissioner is the person who can remove that person. So I've highlighted in red those changes. The rest of the bylaws, we fixed a couple of typos, but the rest of the bylaws go forward. If this is acceptable to you, you can vote to recommend them to the Joint Powers Board. If you vote to do that, then I will put them in the packet for the June meeting, and then the Joint Powers Board can adopt them, vote to adopt them, and then they will be your bylaws. So.
Comments? Would any member of the public like to address this item? Sir?
I'm Bruce Holloway from Boulder Creek. I think this can be streamlined a little bit. The first section says hereinafter referred to as the commission. And I counted four places in the rest of the document where it still says Library Advisory Commission, so I think you can streamline that a little bit. In the second section has this long phrase that talks about Section 5B and the Fourth Amendment, and it goes on and on about this title of this agreement. In Article 2, it kind of repeats all this stuff about Section 5B and the Fourth Amendment, blah, blah, blah. And it also says, and any amendments thereto. So what I would do is I would put that any amendments thereto up there in Section 2 under authority. So make that be the complete, the whole shebang. Section 5, Fourth Amendment, any amendments thereto. And then refer to that as the agreement. That's just the agreement. Then you can refer throughout the rest of the document to the agreement. So then what Article 2 would look like, it would say the commission is advisory only, full stop. The agreement currently provides for the following functions and duties, and then that would be there. Article 3, I don't think that this belongs here at all, because this bylaw should really be about your commission's operation, and your commission will never have anything to do with appointing members. It will never have anything to do with removing members. I wish you would get off the subject of removal because let's hope that you all complete your terms and there's no need to remove anybody, but the members serve at the pleasure of their jurisdiction. So that's kind of like at-will employment. You can be removed for any reason, or you can be removed for no reason. It doesn't even have to be a good reason. So I think all of this is in the agreement, and it really doesn't need to be repeated here. And it's a bad thing to repeat it because what kind of happened last month, you saw, when you have some text like this about selection and appointment or something, you read that and you start thinking, oh, I would like to reword that. I would like to change that. But in fact, that comes from the Joint Powers Agreement. You can't change it. So since you can't change it, I think you just leave it where it is. And anybody that looks up Section 5B, because it is referenced here under authority, anybody who looks up Section 5B is going to see all of that stuff. Now, I've got a few other things here. Since I think this should really be about your operations, where it talks about meetings, there's regular and special meetings, but the Brown Act provides for emergency meetings too. So you might want to say that there's never going to be an emergency meeting of the library of the commission because it's an advisory body, so I don't know why you would ever need to meet in an emergency. Another thing would be closed sessions. It talks here about meetings are going to be open. It doesn't mention closed sessions, but you could put a sentence there that would explicitly say there will be no closed sessions. I think it'd be good to have a goal like by March 31st, the commission will make recommendations about the following year's or the following year's budget. This year, we got kind of a late start, but that's, to me, that's the exact sort of thing that ought to be in bylaws. You might want to look at the trusts. I know there's a handful of trusts that benefit the library. You might want to look at those annually. So put that in the bylaws that you'll be reviewing those. One thing that I would like is I'd like it stated that the agenda will always be on the library website. That's not a Brown Act requirement for a commission, but and it's been happening, so I think that's great, but that's the kind of thing that you might want to put in here, that the agenda will always be on the website. And also, any information that's presented to a majority of the commission, like this folder here, as an outsider, I would like to see that on the website too. And again, it's been pretty good. There's a lot of information that's on the website, you know, pretty much this whole packet that's in this notebook. But I would like a policy that anything that's distributed to a majority of the commission winds up on the website, so it's easy for somebody outside, you know, outside the in crowd to see what it was. Those are public records by law, and it would just be a lot simpler to have it on the website so somebody doesn't have to make a public records request and when you see something like this, wonder what is it that they're looking at. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public like to comment? Seeing none. Is there a motion? Any further discussion?
I'll have a motion to approve the recommendation to the Joint Powers.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Okay. Next item B, proposed library budget for fiscal year 16-17.
What you have here is the budget that was presented at the previous Joint Powers Board. I mean, there will be an update to this budget presented at the June meeting, but that is still fluid and that has not been presented to them. So I can talk about this and a little bit about some of the developments, but some of the budget is still, I'm still waiting for some updated numbers. Basically, what we do have is agreement between the City of Santa Cruz and the county on the sales tax revenue and maintenance of effort. They both have come up with the same numbers, which is a good thing. So they both agree on the numbers. What we've seen with personnel is that we've had enormous increases in PERS and healthcare, double-digit increases in PERS and healthcare, and that has pushed our personnel budget up. The personnel budget also includes the time of the interim executive director of the Library Facilities Financing Authority. He will be still on staff for a little bit of time after the new director comes, but at some point she will take over that position. So we've got still some money for his salary left in there because it's not clear until Susan gets here how long he may need to stay. So that personal budget also does include that. It is pretty much a status quo budget. We need to buy some new computers and some new equipment, and you see that reflected in the budget. One thing I will call your attention to under system services, you'll see under professional services fiscal, it went from 8,300 to 88,300, and the reason for that is that now under the Fourth Amendment, we are no longer have a percentage of overhead that we pay to the City of Santa Cruz. We're going to be contracting for services, and that $80,000 is the contract for legal services, which has been negotiated and approved by the Library Joint Powers Board.
Is that contract with the city?
Yes, with the city attorney, yes. The attorney who also serves as the city attorney.
No, what I'm saying, the services are going to be provided.
Yes.
By the city.
By the attorney who is also a serving.
Okay.
Yeah. And now what has not happened is we still don't have a contract for the other services. We don't have a contract for financial services or HR or any of those, and so you'll see under other services and transfers, it says $710,000, and that is an estimate. It doesn't represent a contract, so that number is still being worked out, but that is a placeholder so we can get a good, some kind of an idea of what the budget is gonna look like. You'll see we have a new item, merchant bank fees, $1,500. That's because we've started taking credit cards, and those are the fees that we have to pay to do that. So at the time of this last budget, you see that we were running pretty well. We were going to have $621 to the good. That may not be the case in the new budget. As I said, the numbers are still kind of flexible. It may not be that we have that $621 to the good, and that is still being worked on, still being figured. Now, there's some things that I know can look confusing, and I want to talk about them. In the new budget, we're going to take these boxes and report them in a different kind of way, but let me explain to you what they are. You'll see under the operating budget, then you'll see two boxes. One of them says extraordinary one-time expenditures. This is because we have money that we may have to spend, but we don't know if we're going to have to spend. And there would be one-time expenses. If Measure S does not pass, then we will still have to rewire and recable our branches. So that will cost about $150,000. So we have a placeholder there. In case Measure S doesn't pass, that's money we will have to spend. It will be spent as people are making decisions about which renovations are happening when. That will be rolled into any branch that is being rebuilt or built for the first time, and then certainly like for this branch that may have a major renovation, we will have to figure out what exactly that means. So that if Measure S passes and the Joint Powers Authority agrees, then that money for the cabling will be paid for by Measure S. The AT&T month-to-month. AT&T has decided, because we have signed the Scenic contract for the faster broadband, that if we don't completely switch over in July, they're going to charge us tariffs for the amount of time we're still going to ask AT&T for service. So that's a tariff above and beyond what you normally would be paying per month for service. So Scenic is putting us first. We're the first library on the list. We're doing everything we can to complete the work in July, but it's possible that that won't happen. We think that if we spend any of that $106,000, that it won't be very much, because we think we'll get some of the branches done, but it's hard to know if we'll get all of them. So I would not guess. We have to assume the worst. So that's why it's $106,000. But I'm guessing that we're not actually end up going to have to spend it. We might have to spend something, but not that. So that's what those one-time expenses are. There is some discussion on the board, and that will continue again in June, about whether the wiring money will come out of Measure S or whether wiring money will come out of another fund, but that is something that they have not decided and are still discussing. The second box concerns the interest by some board members in bringing the hours that the library system is open up to the final 33 hours to meet the limit that it was when we had to cut back and institute a new service model. It would mean that the smaller branches would get 3 extra hours, the larger would get 4 extra hours, and downtown would get no extra hours. But it would total 33 hours. Those costs are primarily personnel costs. So that $217,500 that you see there is what it would cost to have the personnel we would need to be open those additional 33 hours, because we will get to in a place where we'll be having to cover meal breaks and that kind of thing, and it becomes very much more complicated when you have to schedule that way, and it becomes more expensive. This is also something that is under discussion by the Joint Powers Board. No decision has been made, but this is another possible thing that this commission could discuss, that the Joint Powers Board needs to think about where the priority for these 33 hours is and ought to be. This at least will tell you how much they will cost if we do that. I will try to answer your questions as best I can. Most everything else is pretty much status quo. The materials budget is 8% of revenue. At the last meeting, the board asked what it would cost to do 10% of revenue, and we have estimated that number is $1,399,024. So that is part of the information that we will be presenting in June to the Joint Powers Board.
Thanks, Janice. comments?
Well, I have a comment.
Okay.
You know, I sort of have some deja vu going on. When I was on the Joint Powers Board back in the 2000s, a few years before the recession hit us and all bets were off and we were scrambling to survive, we, as a board, were looking at the fact that our personnel costs were increasing faster than our revenues. Mm-hmm. That long-term is not a sustainable model to have. And when you're looking at an annual budget, because when I'm looking at an annual budget, it's very difficult for me to think of, do I agree with this particular line item, do I not agree with it, without more context. Mm-hmm. So for example, we also, back then, were doing longer-term financial forecasting right. of the budget. Mm-hmm. So instead of just having a one-year look, mm-hmm. I mean, how do I know whether, right. you know, $200,000 is okay for an mm-hmm. extra 3 hours at some or 4 hours at the branches without understanding mm-hmm. where our finances are going over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. That detail will be presented at the June budget. I was trying not to present too much information that mm-hmm. they have not received.
Right.
But that is part of the coming budget packet that will be released sometime on Friday.
Great. That's good because mm-hmm. There's so much up in the air right now with our system. Measure S passes, mm-hmm. do we really know what the impact on our expenses, operating expenses, is going to be? Mm-hmm. Not yet.
No.
But, you know, we mm-hmm. will eventually.
Yeah.
You know, with the new director coming on board.
Right.
All of that. So I guess that gets down to my opinion on this budget, which, you know, I know that we're not recommending fast, but we can mm-hmm. recommend to the commission that we like it or don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion would be the budget looks great, but I would not recommend our increases for the reasons I just talked about. We're in too much flux at mm-hmm. this point. You know, Capitola is going to be shut down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like the
right.
adding 3 hours or whatever to Capitola is meaningless
exactly.
because the whole thing's going to be shut down
yeah.
while we're constructing our branch. So
the staff is not recommending the hours increase, but it is something that the board is interested in. So
right.
we needed to
no,
figure
I
out
understand
how much
that.
It costs.
But if
yeah.
I mean, obviously people have to weigh mm-hmm. in with their opinions, but if everybody agreed, that would be a message that I would like to send to the
okay.
the board.
Other commissioners?
Well, I'd like to know if Major S is going to be
yeah. Crystal ball.
I forgot.
Crystal ball. That's right.
Because I think that will sort of inform my opinion about that item.
Mm-hmm.
And because I see also if it does pass, all of a sudden we're going to be taking off in a new direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that is going to be about hours once we get all the new facilities built. So if it doesn't pass, then I would say, yeah, let's move forward on that. But again, it's like we don't really know yet about the future. I mean, we will know June 7th.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
when is the when's the budget hearing?
The budget hearing,
the budget hearing is the first Thursday in June.
It's the second.
June 2nd.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
But there's nothing to say that you can't amend your budget.
Right. Oh no,
budget.
That's right.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right.
That's
you know,
right.
Information.
Yeah,
you
and
I the best information you've
exactly.
got.
Exactly. No, I think there's a lot that we're going to have to talk about, depending on what happens. And
mm-hmm. And then another whole area that was brought up at the last Joint Powers Board meeting is the use of reserves, because our 2 month reserve limit is fully funded, and then for the moment we have some money, about we think it's about $500,000, and we keep getting, you know, that number keeps changing up and down a little bit over that, but some of the things that are being talked about that would be one-time costs might eat that up. So that's the other piece. What is a one-time cost and what is an ongoing cost? If we increase hours, that's an ongoing cost that you might theoretically be able to cover for 1 year's reserve, but you can't count on that. And the other part of that is up until this year, when there were overages in the maintenance of effort more than what was predicted, then the library received that extra portion. Now, in the new Fourth Amendment, that extra money in the maintenance of effort goes to the county. And so that was one of the ways we got through 2008 and 2009. We won't have that. If the sales tax, we'll get whatever happens with the sales tax, but not with the maintenance of effort. So, it's kind of guesswork until we see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's going to change things. Mm-hmm. So it's not clear yet, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I first of all, I want to follow up on what Barbara said about having that long-term, I was on the last board, and Marcus had prepared for us. I don't have the data in front of me, but Marcus had prepared for us three or five years you were on the board, and things were looking pretty good, and then there reached a point of diminishing returns. This was without anything that we were going to bump up against, with not doing anything, we were going to bump up against something in 3 years. I can't remember exactly, but I guess what it sounds like, you're going to have something for the June packet for the board.
There is that kind of long-term data over years is going to be presented by Marcus.
Well, but one thing I do want to say, I have a couple of other comments. One thing I do want to say, I really appreciate that you included this box up front in the budget as a possible, so that we are always, it's always there as something to consider and keep it in front of us.
We're just going to have it on a separate table, not on the operating budget spreadsheet, because it's going to be confusing to some people.
Right.
So we're going to have a separate sheet that is one-time costs that is not on the same page as the operating budget.
Well, I mean, I think since this had been an established goal some years ago, I mean, I think it's important to keep it, that we keep the data coming so we know what the impact would be, so that we're always aware of it.
Right.
Then secondly, I just have one minor comment about remind me the cost of the election. I mean, if in the horrible circumstances that Measure S doesn't pass, which I don't even want to say because I don't want to jinx it, but
the estimate, the cost, we won't know until after June 7th, but the estimated cost is between $350,000 and $400,000.
And that's not reflected here.
That is not reflected here. That is going to be in that separate.
Oh, that's going to be in the package for the June.
That's going to be in the June packet. And we also, I mean, that brings up another thing that we need to remember. If Measure S does pass, or when it passes, or however you want it,
when it passes,
then there are several expenses that will be reimbursed. That will be one of them. And right now we have figured out that in addition to the cost of the election, there's various surveys and consultants and all kinds of people we paid, which is about, I think it's about $112,000. That will be listed in the packet when it comes out. So it's that plus whatever the cost of the election is, and that could then be reimbursed by Measure S. So that's something to consider.
So that would be like a revenue. That would actually
That's a revenue. Mm-hmm.
Then my last question, back to the library materials. So it's 8% of revenue. But our revenue has...
Well, it excludes grants and things like that.
Because I, you know, I, it's disappointing to me that it went down. I mean, that our funding on that line has gone down for this year. I mean, I just, it's, I don't want it to be a slippery slope.
No.
And
nobody does.
Well, anyway, that's just, I just want to...
Point taken.
Right.
Yeah, it's not what people would want.
Right. Well, I just, I understand the 10% is probably outside our realm maybe this year, but the 8%, even staying at 8%, we're still lower than last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's troubling.
Okay. And Janice, could you, if you know the information, you know, there's, I recall there was always a number floating around that was sort of like the standard in the library
the goal.
World, or the goal, what should be the goal, or the average if you look at all other libraries.
Well, I think that's why we went for their percentage. If there's a number, it's not jumping back, but I will check and see if there is a current number and let you all know what that is. Because I think that's why we were aiming for the percentage and not a number, but I will find out. Shelley, do you happen to know?
It is the percentage.
No,
that's
what
I thought.
Oh, what is it?
No, but what the sort of standard?
No,
is it
a percentage and not a number.
Correct.
Yeah, but is there a standard?
That's what I remember.
I believe the percent is it.
Yeah, but I thought it was around 12%.
I thought it was 12% too.
Yeah. That's what I was. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, that's such a big number. I just wanted to be the one to say it.
I would just like to agree with Martha in terms of really keeping in mind the books and materials budget. But I'd also like to not lose sight of the adding hours back to whatever they were at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand the rationale for not doing that in the interim of all the flux. But I think we really need to consider doing it if we can.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Was the issue with the additional city money resolved such that we expected that there would be an additional $70,000 for the MOE?
Yes.
So what's the answer? Like, basically, why isn't the difference here $70,000?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have all the coming packet stuff in front of me.
I guess the more important question is this the right number?
This is not.
The 5515273.
I'll tell you in just a second.
That looks like a 9 now.
That is still the number. That number is still the number being used. And the most current one.
Right. Okay, so...
What I would need to do is just get that answer straight from Mark, because I don't really trust myself.
I understand.
But I can tell you, I can email all of you and tell you what the answer is.
A couple other things pop out. Do you know, or does Marcus know, why our insurance is going up 20% this year?
Because insurance, our insurance premiums are going up. Those are the invoices
that
we
receive. Building and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, those are all based on what the vendors have told us in the invoices we're receiving.
There was also some detail in the budget that's presented to the Joint Powers Board that mentioned something about equalizing some of the branch managers. Is that still under discussion?
We still, right now, have it in the budget, and we hope that it can stay there. If we go too much into the hole, we might not be able to fund it right away. It might be something that could be funded mid-year. It would be something the board would have to discuss. It is still a goal we have for this coming year. We'll just have to see. Maybe we can only fund it at mid-year.
So my two concerns are basically the materials and the hours issue. Materials, because the way I get my friends my age to use libraries is by saying that, like, you can go in there and get books that you might otherwise buy, and then that kind of keeps them coming. So the materials budget as a percentage is pretty important to me, and I'd love to be able to go in and see stuff I want to read in Lucky Day, or be able to hear that something came out, go mm-hmm. online and get it. Like mm-hmm. that's the way I use the library mm-hmm. primarily. Mm-hmm. The hours for me is sticky because with respect to the branch managers, you know, I was at that other meeting and I saw that, you know, this is a budget item that's going to cost $32,000, something like that. And this is my third budget that I'm looking at for the system. And every year there's, you know, adjustments for staff, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to make people equitable in pay. Mm-hmm. Some people may be been working below a class where mm-hmm. they should have been, and you bring them up. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but think that, you know, I voted on two of them, right? And then this one I'm not really voting on, but advising. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't had done that, perhaps the branch of my community could be open another day. You know, if I have 3 years of a, you know, a $30,000 adjustment here, a $40,000 adjustment here, mm-hmm. then by the time I'm at now, perhaps Live Oak could be open on a Saturday. And the other thing that's really important about libraries for me is, especially in Live Oak, is the actual open hours. The way I use the library is by getting books and going online and using the online tools. But the way a lot of the young kids on free and reduced school lunch in my district use the library is by going there.
Right.
Right.
The open hours proposal for Live Oak would open it on Friday.
Friday right. or Saturday, yeah. I mean, I would
instead of 2 days in a row.
Instead of 2 days in a row, close. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for a couple years now, I've said that this is a thing that's like pretty near and dear to me, and it's mm-hmm. it's disappointing that mm-hmm. you know, this is actually year six of economic growth, mm-hmm. right? That we're all seeing, and the sales tax is, I know that it's not going up a lot, mm-hmm. and I do definitely agree that. You know, I'm a controller, a finance person for my day job, and so I have to, like, live in the world of uncertainty. I work for a startup. Tons of uncertainty. And, you know, forecasts and future budgets are wrong, always. Mm-hmm. You just don't know which ways they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I'm totally sensitive to the fact that it looks like, you know, again, we don't seem to have the money this year to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's disappointing that we don't. And I guess the way that I think about what our role is in the commission is that I'm not voting on dollars this time, mm-hmm. right? Like, the recommended action is just to basically receive and mm-hmm. do whatever else we want to mm-hmm. do. But one of the things I can do as a commissioner is say, you know, especially now that we have a new director coming, tell the board and indirectly the commissioner, this is my priority. And so,
yes.
I guess for me, this is my priority. I would like us to find a way to get the branch of my community open. I think that those people deserve it. Can I open it up to Nancy?
Yeah, I just want to add on to that. I think there's things we can do, and I'm hoping with the new director that maybe we can, as a commission, sit down with her mm-hmm. and really talk about ideas about mm-hmm. how to get these branches open more hours. I mean, we really need to tackle this, and I think we can. I think there are systems that have done this by opening now. Once the employees get there, the doors open, mm-hmm. and then they just do their job as people are coming in. That opens branches more hours. I think New York City did that, mm-hmm. and for no money, mm-hmm. ended up with a lot more hours. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to have to get really creative about it, because we have new branches that are going to come online. They're not, they are not going to be open 27 hours. You know, at least Felton isn't going to. It's mm-hmm. going to have parity with other branches. So mm-hmm. it's a huge issue that I think we're all going to have to just sit down and talk about.
Yeah.
How are we going to make this work?
Right now we don't have staff at most of our branches very long before we open.
Well, no,
we've had to because of the staffing model.
Yeah, I'm just saying I think we need to look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not doubting you at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that I agree with Sean. It's like we really have to sort of figure this out. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is.
It's okay with you guys. I'm going to take comment from Martha and then open up to the public.
Well, I just want to follow up on that. I think, you know, we haven't had this commission before. And I know one of the things that has been difficult for the library staff when the board, for example, is asking you to do things, mm-hmm. and everybody's asking you, and that's on top of the work mm-hmm. you're doing. Mm-hmm. And but now you have there's us, and I'm kind of thinking that maybe this is the kind of helping with some of the research and the analysis on these kinds of topics is something we could help with. Mm-hmm. And so that we aren't, burdening the library staff to mm-hmm. keep going back and trying to answer questions. If we can help with that, maybe we can we can at least get better resources to bring to bear on coming to a good solution. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we could hold a workshop at
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're here for. You've got seven more people that are available to help research these topics. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to be the first one. I'm sure there'll be other things that have differences of opinion in the community or whatever, and we're here to help sort that out.
And as the new branches are renovated and built, they're... all these questions have to be answered all over.
Right, because I sort of feel like here we are, looking at the budget. Some of us are looking at it like we used to as a board, mm-hmm. but we're not here to approve it. Mm-hmm. I don't want us to pile on when we can help, because you've got already a board that's going to pile on.
Yeah, that's so true.
Would any member of the public like to comment on this item? Mr. Holloway?
Thanks. First of all, I'd like to ask, when Commissioner Dexter was a professional librarian, do you recall how much your library was spending on materials?
Well, you know, I wasn't in a public library, and so it was a completely different setting. I was in a government special library, so it was not quite the same. But I really don't know the exact answer, and I wouldn't want to make a stab at it.
So, just by the way, I feel the same way as Chair Campbell in Boulder Creek. There's 2 days a week when that library is not open. And I think Monday's the day when neither Boulder Creek nor Felton is open. So if for some reason I need to get into a library, I wind up having to drive all the way to Scotts Valley, which is 25 minutes one way from me. I think a branch like this one should be open until 9 o'clock. When I was in high school, I don't know how I would have done my work in high school if the local library wasn't open until 9 o'clock. Monday through Thursday, I think there's a division of labor between, I think there's going to develop a division of labor between the commission and the board. And I'll bet that the board would be pleased as punch if all they had to do every year was give an annual performance evaluation to the library director and ratify the budget.
Exactly.
They might want two looks at the budget and then ratify it. So there's really an opportunity here for this commission to roll up your sleeves and really dig into the budget matters so that you're the ones that are in charge of that and they're just seeing the end product. So one idea, most of you probably know Glenn Hanna. And he advocates benchmarking. He's got five county library systems in Northern California that he's picked out. They're similar size, similar situations as this. And they seem to always get a higher percentage of materials and more open hours than this library system. I think in the long run, you're going to have to expand the volunteer program. And maybe there's a way that way to get a little bit more open hours by having a little bit more volunteers. I think there's been a history here that the employee union was fearful that if there were too many volunteers, it was going to take jobs away from their members. But you can present it to them as a way to augment the professional staff so that you can get more open hours, because this is a chronic problem. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other member of the public like to comment? More comments from the commission? What is the recommended action?
You can just receive the budget, and then there'll be an update after the meeting, but you can also decide. You have the opportunity, you're going to have a opportunity at the June meeting for an oral report on this meeting or your recommendations. It's purely a budget meeting in June, so you could make a decision to form that report that you want to make.
I should probably advise the commission that the chair, maybe not necessarily the chair, the board has asked that they have a report from the commission at every one of their meetings, so myself or my designee gives that report.
Mm-hmm. So you can recommend the character of that report. Mm-hmm. You can't vote on it, but
right.
You can say, you can certainly talk about your priorities, you can talk about what you see and what you want them to know and understand.
So then any motion would basically be the recommendation or mm-hmm. the content of the report, should we choose to do that? Is that correct? I guess I'm not clear.
You don't have to make a motion to do that.
We don't have to make a motion. No. Okay. Any other comments?
We need a motion to accept the.
You can, yeah. Mm-hmm. You just received, yeah. Right. But you can make a motion to receive.
Close the item.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No?
Bob, it's just a staff report. We're just receiving information.
You're just receiving. So, yeah, there wasn't no action directly related to the budget, but you can decide what you want the character of your oral report to be.
Right, that was what I was going to say. So do we have to come to agreement on what our...
What we want Sean to say.
Yeah, right.
You have to give him something to say.
I think that if I, heard from around the table, there's somewhat of a difference of opinion right now as to what we would want to recommend that the board do,
mm-hmm.
If we were recommending that to them. So mm-hmm. I think that the report would need to reflect sort of those key differences that we discussed. But I think that I heard that everybody seemed to be consistent in their view that moving forward, we really do need to sit down and have a look at strategically on ours and probably other things strategically, but for this purpose, mm-hmm. we need to, as a commission, as a community, and as a board, really sit down and have that strategic look at ours.
Okay, I can guess that up. The next item is the board meeting calendar.
Yes.
I believe we only set this meeting, is that
correct?
That's correct. If we go ahead and do a little survey so I can be reminded what days are good and bad for everybody. Barbara, you had a restricted day, is that right? 2 days,
first? Basically Monday is the only one I can do, as long as we don't start until 7.
Okay.
Monday is the day you
can
do it.
Can do it. Yeah.
And you, Ellen, you live far away.
No, right? I live in Scotts Valley. Okay. I work far
you
away.
Work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be here if I lived far away, right? But, I'm really tired, and 7 o'clock is late for me. I've been up since 5 this morning, mm-hmm. and I know you can't start till 7, but it's rough. I haven't been home yet.
So I would compromise and say, since we don't meet every week,
right.
I would compromise and say I could do a 6:30. I would just leave my previous commitment early, is what I would do.
On a Monday?
On a Monday. I could leave early.
Okay. I would appreciate that because I'm tired of going
home.
How are you?
Is there another day that could be even earlier?
So you like early on?
I like early,
Yeah.
Six is the earliest I could do it just because I work in Hollis. Right. So it's a good job, but.
Yeah. It's a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great job.
And I have a pretty standard, you know, 9 to 4 or 5 job, so I prefer early evening as well. Wednesdays are my only days I can't come in.
I like Monday is good.
Monday works for us. If we can agree on Monday, that would be good.
We can agree on Monday, but only at 6:30. Right? Because we don't want to force Barbara to miss her engagement.
Yeah, and you were saying, Alan, that 6:30 is a good time for you.
It's a little bit much better. Yeah. Helps.
Okay.
Well, Nancy was.
I mean, if you could
earlier.
Do it earlier, could you do it earlier than 6:30?
Yeah, 6 would be the earliest for me.
Are you thinking early, like 9 in the morning?
No, I would go for 6, okay. You know. I mean, I'd go for a daytime meeting, but I know people can't do that a lot. So, yeah, I would go for 6 if people could do that and just be out of here.
Cindy, how do you feel?
6 or 6:30 is fine.
Martha?
6 or 6:30 is fine with me.
Tuesdays at 6?
No.
Mondays.
And which Monday is a month?
Well, when does the board meet? It's on the first Thursday. So is it better for us to meet before or after the board?
Before.
What's going to be?
So it's going to be the last.
Either the last
the
or
the fourth.
The first Monday or the last Monday.
So the last Monday in June would be.
Why is it better for us to meet before the board?
Okay, but any of those meetings, any of those, either the third or the fourth, I mean, it would still be before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And are you setting a pattern, or are we just talking about?
I think we better set a pattern.
I think we should. Okay. Grab it while we can.
I will, just to make you totally crazy.
Okay, yeah.
Because some of the jurisdictions are dark in July and summer and August,
right.
They're going to deviate from their pattern
right
and meet on
month.
July 28th.
Well,
so they have the June, so they have the June second meeting, and then the next meeting will be July 28th.
So fourth Monday, next meeting June 27th. On July 25th.
Say again.
Fourth Monday at
June 27th.
Yeah.
At what time?
6:30
would be 6:30 because that's meeting already meeting.
Okay.
6:27 and 7:25 at 6:30. Okay, and do you want to make the pattern, or do you want to just go with us?
I'm comfortable making that pattern.
Okay. So Yvonne will work on what a schedule would look like, and you still for the you can meet with whatever frequency you want, but you want to meet monthly at least. Okay.
For now.
We also discussed rotating locations.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. So we should rotate for the last one.
Okay. All right.
Aptos.
If
Scotts Valley.
Yeah.
Flip Corn.
Close from my work, but we'd have to make sure the rooms are available.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We would have to check. So do you want us to try Aptos first?
Sure.
That's fine.
Aptos,
yeah.
Scotts Valley.
Either way, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So Yvonne will do that and let us know what that is.
Well, if Aptos isn't available in Scotts Valley.
I know.
Okay.
No.
See, that was kind of my idea. Then Aptos is
okay.
Okay. Cool. So the next meeting will be June 27th at 6:30, location TBD.
Mm-hmm.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.